Good morning. Welcome this morning to our time of worship. And I have a few announcements. I'm going to ask Pam to come up first. Let Pam give her announcement.
So I just wanted to share, I had been at the district conference this weekend, and one of the things I brought along back was it's called 2019, Our Ministry, Our Story. This was part of my packet that I had for the weekend for the leadership time for our meeting time. But there's a booklet back there in the narthex that has this information. And if you're interested in seeing what our district has been involved in over the 2019 year, it's a great place to look. I just would ask that you leave it back there so that everyone has access to use it as a reference. And then maybe we can put it in the library after a while. Thanks.
Thanks, Pam. I just want to highlight a few things this morning. Next Sunday afternoon after the 10:30 worship, there will be caroling and visiting to some of our shut-ins. If you want care to go along with that, see Pam, John, or Jamie. And let's flip over here. This congregation likes to eat. And I just want to highlight a few things. October the 19th, the Women's Fellowship will be having a breakfast here at the church. That's a breakfast buffet at 7 a.m. And then the 20th will be, guess who's coming to dinner? And you can see in the bulletin, you can sign up to be a host or hostess, or you can be a guest, whichever you prefer. And then first and foremost is Love Feast. Today is Love Feast Sunday, and following the 10:30 service, we will have our Love Feast downstairs. And this service will be geared around preparing our hearts and our minds for the Love Feast. And I just want to highlight one other event happening this coming Saturday for you men, and I'm going to say women also. 7:30, the men's group will be back at Camp Swatara. We'll be working on the cabin at the miniature golf course, putting a new porch on there, and there's also some other things on the golf course for us to work at. So 7:30 next Saturday. Any other announcements this morning? I'm not seeing anybody jumping up and down or raising their hands, so let's turn to worship, our time of worship. I'm going to ask you to rise as we do our call to worship. Please stand. Let us begin. God, you are good. You are great. You are worthy of our praise. We bring ourselves before you in humility and openness to your Spirit's power. Cleanse us, fill us with more and more of you. In Jesus' name, heal our brokenness and every illness before you. For you alone have that power. Amen.
Thank you. So it's a joy today to be with you in the house of the Lord. We're calling Sarah Bryant right now. It's her birthday, and I want us to sing as loud as you possibly can to Sarah to wish her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you.
Hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, church.
What a blessing. It's good to have Greg with us here this morning. He's going to be sharing a testimony of just how God's been working through the power of prayer in the midst of my message. Any joys or concerns you'd like to share this morning? These beautiful flowers were in celebration of a beautiful life, Diane Feathers, and we just appreciate everyone that came out and supported Diane's family yesterday. And we do want to extend our condolences to Eugene Stump, and services are the 18th, so we'll get more information to you through the prayer chain at that time when we know more information. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share? I did have a prayer request from Cheryl Straw. She has a coworker whose name is Maria, and she's 38 years old. She has a 5-year-old son and a husband, and she's in hospice, has been suffering from cancer. So keep Maria in your prayer as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible opportunity to gather together, to worship you, to know you more, to celebrate the ability to serve one another in humility thereafter. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together and we can be a blessing to one another, to share friendship with one another, to encourage one another, to uplift one another. And we just come here, Lord, and we just lay our burdens down at the cross. We lay our worries at the cross. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide us, you would continue to lead us, you would continue to be our supply, that you would let us know, Lord, that we can be patient, we can wait on you, and we can trust in you, Lord. So thank you for the faith that we each possess, and pray, Lord, that we would indeed remain faithful to you as through the years you have been faithful to us. We do lift up those on our prayer concerns this morning. We think of the Eugene Stump family and the Diane Feathers family, and continue, Lord, to ask your blessings of comfort and peace upon them. Lord, walk with them through this journey of grief and just allow them to know the celebration of lives well lived. And we thank you, Lord, for Eugene and the memories of Diane. We lift up Beverly this morning and Naomi and Tim this morning and Carl and Vera, and ask, Lord, that you would just continue to work in their midst, continue to bring your healing touch upon them, continue to move and let them know that you are with them in a very real way. And we just lift up Daniel. We celebrate with the fact he's now home and recovering from the first procedure. And as we anticipate the next procedure, Lord, we ask your hand of blessing upon Daniel and Greg and Sarah and Lauren, Lord, and just bless that family, Lord, and just allow them to know your presence and just allow them to know that you're leading and guiding the entire way as this unfolds, Lord. And we just trust you, Lord, for the best outcome for Daniel. And we just thank you for church family. We thank you for everyone gathered here this morning. You know us, Lord. You know what's going on in our lives right now. You know the struggles we're facing. You know the indifferences that we have. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to allow us to seek you first and to put you first in every relationship and in every situation we're facing. And we know, Lord, when we do that, as we surrender, as we submit, as we're obedient, your will be done. So thank you, Father, for your perfect, pleasing will. And we do come before you this morning, Lord. You know the sins that we have committed. You know what is going on in our lives even now. And we just want to take pause. We want to confess those sins. And Lord, just begin even now to examine our hearts, that during our final time of confession, Lord, this morning, that we would be prepared and ready to go downstairs for Love Feast together. So Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers of confession and also the prayers upon our hearts. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for the cross. We thank you for forgiveness that is offered through the cross. We thank you, Lord, on the third day you rose again, that the tomb is empty. And we praise you this morning, knowing that eternal life is ours. If we trust, if we believe, if we have faith, and we walk, Lord, with you hand in hand through this life. So thank you, Lord, for being a present help in our times of trouble. And we pray, Lord, now that you would continue to just be glorified through our lives. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
for an offertory thought this morning. I turned to the back of my Bible where the dictionary and the concordance is, and I looked up the word offering, and this is what it says. It has two meanings. Number one, something given to God as an act of worship. And number two, the sacrifice of an animal to make the relationship between God and man right again. In the Old Testament, animals and grains were regularly used as offerings in an attempt to bring the people closer to God. So I guess I just want to go back to that first definition, something given to God as an act of worship. Think about that. Our offerings that we give each and every Sunday are truly an act of worship. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to give back to you, to celebrate in worship that which we have had in abundance. And we just pray that you take these offerings and use them as best you can. And it's in your name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Morning. Good morning. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about communication. Who can tell me what communication means? It's a big word. Working together is talking with people. Well, I brought a few things to have us look at here today. Everybody knows what this is. Does anybody have one? You have a phone? No. I bet your parents have one. And what do they do with this? They call. Work. Work. All right. Do they just call and talk to somebody? They just call and share things? Do you think they know what they're talking about before they share? I hope so. That's what we're going to talk about, communication. How about this? A tablet? Well, this tablet's not even used. I mean, it's like brand new. That's how technological I am. I use my phone. But can we communicate with the tablet? Sure, we can. You have a computer at home? Have you ever Skyped on it? Sure. But you want to be sure you know what you're talking about when you start talking on that tablet or that computer. How else can we communicate? We can communicate with letters. This is the old-fashioned way, and I look forward to this one. Every year I get this letter from friends in Arizona and know what's going on. So before I can say anything about them, I know what's going on in their life because I've read this and communicated with them. The newspaper. Does anybody read a newspaper anymore?
No.
Not very much. Let's see. I think this one's probably about, I'm going to say Tuesday. I can't even find it without getting it out. This is an old one. But if you're a newspaper reporter, you need to know what you can put in here. What can you put in here? Well, this one tells about good things and it tells about bad things. But if you're going to talk about the newspaper or write in the newspaper, you need to know the truth. You need to know what to put in there. So I would like to talk to us this morning about another way to communicate. We communicate when we pray. And who do we pray to? We pray to God. Okay, but now let's pretend just for a minute. Sorry about that. Let's pretend just for a minute that we are that newspaper reporter. And we want to get our story right. So we want to know who. And you told me, who do we pray to? We pray to God. So that's the first part in our story. We want to know who we pray to. What? What can we pray to God about? Can we pray to God about our family? Can we pray to God about our church? Can we pray to God when we're just scared? Sometimes you get afraid of the dark. And then we can pray those things. When can we pray? Whenever we want. Do we have to come up here with Pastor Matt? No, we can pray whenever we want to pray. So that's part of our reporting story. We'll know who we can pray to, we know what we can pray, and we know when we can pray. We can pray anytime. I pray a lot when I'm working in the kitchen, even when I'm driving the car. I pray for lots of drivers ahead of me. And that brings us up to where? Where? Anywhere, right? Anywhere we can pray, anywhere. We don't have to come into the church to pray. We don't have to go to a certain spot in our house to pray. We can pray anywhere. Why? Why do we want to pray? Say it again. If you feel scared, sure. But why would we want to pray? Who are we praying to? God. We want to pray to God. And why do we pray to God? Do you think he listens? We pray to God because we know he listens. He's there. He answers our prayers. And we know he's always there for him. So that's why we pray to God. He is there for us because he loves us. He loves us very, very much. Do you think we make good reporters? Because we know all five W's. WWWW. Why? What? When? Where? Who? Very good. Can we pray right now? Thank you, God, for being there for us, that we can pray to you anytime, that we don't have to go anywhere special, that we know you're right there all the time for us, right beside us, listening to our prayers, and we know that we can pray to you because you love us. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. I do have something for you to help you remember the W's. And then you may go back to your seats. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning opens up in James 5:13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Friends, we all know what it means to have trouble. We even know what it means to be in trouble. It reminds me of a story about a young man named John who received a parrot as a gift. Now, this wasn't any parrot. It had a bad attitude and an even worse vocabulary. As a matter of fact, every word out of the bird's mouth was rude, it was obnoxious, and it was laced with profanity. John tried and tried to change the bird's attitude by consistently saying only polite words, playing soft, uplifting music, and anything he could think of to clean up the bird's mouth. Finally, John had enough, and he yelled at the parrot, and the parrot yelled back. Enough was enough. So John took the bird and he threw it in the freezer. He thought he needed a few moments to cool off. Well, the parrot squawked. You could hear the parrot kicking and screaming, but then there was total silence. Not a single peep was heard for an entire minute. Fearing he'd hurt the parrot, John opened the door to the freezer, and the parrot was staring at the turkey. He calmly stepped out onto John's outstretched arms and said, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions. I'm sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." John was stunned at the change in the bird's attitude, and he was about to ask what made such a dramatic change in his behavior when the bird spoke up, saying ever so softly, "May I ask, what did the turkey do?" Friends, trouble will find us in every direction. The lesson in verse 13 is simple. Don't be the parrot. Pray about your troubles. But the verse goes on, if you're happy, sing songs of praise. We all know the song, if you're happy and you know it. But it says here to sing songs of praise. You can imagine the happy dance, hands in the air, spinning around, smiling ear to ear, singing praises to the Lord. Sing them with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yet, for some here today, trouble finds us more than happiness. And when happiness comes, trouble seems to be lurking around the next corner. We can't seem to catch a break. Well, verse 14 to 20 continues. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us from it. We pray now in this moment, we want more and more of you, Lord, that we might walk the talk, that others might see you as they see us. But in this moment, we pray fervently for every need in this room, that any illness would be healed, that any trouble would be taken away. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. So if prayer is essentially talking with God, then there must be more than one way to do it. I mean, certainly we want to speak with respect to the creator of the universe. But that didn't stop Abraham. That didn't stop Moses or David or Jeremiah or other biblical heroes from speaking their minds. After all, it is a conversation with a great God who indeed loves us. So with that in mind, choose whatever posture, whatever format makes most sense to you. Scripture reveals there is tremendous value in both personal and in group prayer. But if you're in trouble, pray. Don't be the parrot calling out to God privately when you need his help. But friends, there's healing power as the community of faith gathers with its elders to call upon the Lord. Now, the connection between sin and sickness is not an easy one for any of us. I mean, could James' words mean that a sick person must have sinned in some way to bring on the sickness? Not many believe that to be the case. So earlier, James challenges his readers to humble themselves before the Lord. In this last part of his letter, he shows us what that looks like. The church community is praying together, confessing their sins to one another. They accept the fact that they are only human, but they still expect a great God to do great things. So friends, when someone strays from the faith, they don't alienate that person with words of judgment. They pray, they forgive, and they restore. You see, friends, the Christian faith is not about setting up some ideal of perfect behavior, but of connecting with God in humility, listening to him, letting him press, if you will, the reset button on our lives, and then walking the talk, living out his passion for others. As Brother Craig preached so clearly last week, our faith in Christ changes us. If you're sitting here 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years, look at yourself and is there change? I'm not talking about a change in the place where you're sitting, but a change that happens in your heart by a transforming God. Perhaps your attitude, perhaps your action towards others. You're loving what Christ loves. You're hating what Christ hates. But Jesus most of all, and on a day such as today, absolutely adores a humble servant heart. Yet the question begs to be asked, how many of us will sacrifice something the rest of this day to come for a short period of time to examine Love Feast, to bow down, to wash another's feet in humility and in service, remembering what the Lord himself did for us? Friends, here's the cold, hard facts. A true faith, a living faith, has this natural outpouring of good works. And good works, no matter how good, cannot, will not produce authentic faith. Brothers and sisters, faith is always a gift. It's never earned. So as you face trials, as you experience temptation, as you minister to the needy, as you suffer, maintain that faith in God and trust him. Trust him for wisdom, for compassion, for patience, for endurance, for healing. Trust him for the faith that produces a harvest of righteousness. And friends, it is then that we can walk the talk. And there's someone here this morning I'm going to invite to the podium to share just what it looks like in a journey he's been on and how prayer has been powerful and effective. Brother Greg, as he makes his way forward, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our brother Greg. We thank you for his son Daniel. We thank you for the way in which you have moved in his life. We know the journey is not yet over, but Lord, we're continuing to trust you. We're continuing to lift your name on high, that you would continue to watch over this family, and in particular, give Daniel all he needs in this moment. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
First, I'd like to just say thank you to everybody here. Without all of you, the last couple of years, but more specifically the last few months, or even more so the last few weeks, would have been a lot harder than they were. You all know also that I can have a tendency to be long-winded, so I won't. Sarah says, just tell them, don't go around the back door to get to the front. So I'll do my best. I'm going to lay a lot out here on you, and I'll be honest, some of it's not pretty, but you'll understand. You know, a few months ago, actually maybe 5 or 6 months ago, I bumped into a member of this congregation at a play. And after you've been told many times by this, you know, everybody you bump into, especially when you're a family member, but Daniel's having such a hard time, and they say, you know, we're praying for your, in a sense, the cliche phrase that comes out of everyone's mouth. I'll be honest, at times it tends to wear on you because you don't want that. You want answers and you want things to be fixed. And I think my words were a little harsh in response. And I may have said something to the effect of, I'm done. Now it's my turn. I've been praying about this and praying about this and praying about this and nothing's happening. And now it's my turn. I'm the guy that fixes everything at home. I'm the guy that can fix the car and the bike and the things in the house. I couldn't fix Daniel, or at least the doctors couldn't fix Daniel. And after a while, you get tired of hearing the same things over and over, and that was just the one phrase that, to me, that just, I was over it. And I said, now it's my turn. Now I'm going to fix this. Didn't get me anywhere. As a matter of fact, it got worse. I didn't stop praying about it, but I did not make an effort as much as I should have or knew I needed to do what we are told to do, which is turn it over. We're not in control. I'm not in control. It's not my time. It's his time. Although I made every effort to make it in my time and tell the doctors what I wanted them to do, and things got much worse. Matter of fact, shortly after that, we ended up right back in the hospital because something that I wanted them to do, he had a severe reaction to, and that could have killed him, and right back in the hospital. And a lot over the last few months has changed. And when I finally just said, "All right, you know, you can only get worn down so much before there's nothing left." And there hasn't been much left for a long time. When I finally just broke down and said, that's it, I got nothing left, it's all you. The things that started to change were quite amazing. I mean, I'm standing here in front of you all right now, and I never thought that would happen again. Right now, as we speak on the 6th, Daniel is now 5 days seizure-free. We haven't gone this long without a seizure in years. And there really is no explanation that they can give us. I spent many days, the last 10 days or so, in dark corners of garages and hospitals and in a car. You have a lot of time when you're sitting on the Schuylkill at midnight or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's easy to pray and thank when things are good. It's not so easy when they're not, and things haven't been good for a long time. And I also realized it's easy to get on your knees and ask and beg, I want, I want, I want. Seems like that's what we all are today, and I'm not saying that to you, I'm saying society in general. Rather than saying, thank you for what you've given me. And once I realized that what we had, there would be a million people that would line up behind me and trade places for what I have. As I wrap this up here, just to give you a few specifics, there's not many things that I've done in life that are difficult. As you know, speaking with my father-in-law, saying this is the hardest decision I've ever had to make with Sarah, because now I'm not only making a decision for us, but something that's going to affect his whole entire life forever. No longer is the decision we make going to change something tomorrow. This is a decision for him that we have to make. And what will he think in 10 years' time? Will he look at us and say, why'd you do this to me? I can't walk right. The things that they've told us that could happen after this next surgery are not something that we're looking forward to, but we know it's potentially what's going to save him. And the morning of his surgery, this last one, before they wheeled him into the OR, we put our hands on him and we prayed for him. And the calm that this 10-year-old exhibited was otherworldly. We were a mess. You're trying to hold it together for him, and he's the one, I specifically remember him going, see ya, putting his arm up in the air, but as they're wheeling him away, awake, which is what I was hoping would not happen, but they did not put him under before they took him to the OR, and we're watching him go. He didn't cry. He didn't say, I'm scared. He didn't say any of that. He said, see ya. He put his arm in the air just like that. Said, see ya. And he was gone. And for the next 8 hours, we were terrified. And you try to put on a big smiley face and, pretend that everything's okay, but 25 feet away, they're drilling 19 holes in your kid's head. But we had every person here. We had multiple other congregations. I believe was it Mark maybe that started the prayer chain thing, it was felt, let me tell you, it was felt. When he came out of the OR and he could barely open his eyes, and the first things that he looked up and he saw Lauren, and she said, I'm not even sure what she said to him, and he said, shut up, Lauren. I looked at Sarah and she smiled at me and she's like, we're all right, he's good. You can't imagine, but you can imagine. Everybody, non-Christians, non-believers, they gotta touch, feel, see, they can't believe in it. That's why it's called faith. They don't want to believe because they can't put it in their hand right here. You know, I can. He's a half mile down the road. It's easy to pray and thank when things are good. It's not so easy when they're bad. And it's not been good for a long time. But I am here to tell you, if it wasn't for those prayers, oh boy. I mean, it was a rough 10 days. And he did about as good as the doctors. Well, I mean, and honestly, the doctors are surprised at how well he did. Virtually no pain. I mean, the kid spent 9 days with these bolts drilled into his skull and 6-inch wires into his brain. And we asked the congregation for the first time, can you please pray for seizures? And they got those leaves in his brain, and the first night he had a 40-minute seizure. Now, in reality, it wasn't one long 40-minute one, but to us it looked like it was. It just, he kept going in and out. And that was Wednesday night, I believe. His last seizure was that next day, Thursday. The volume of information that they acquired in the first 36 hours of those leads being in was enough to give them, it was enough that they felt comfortable saying, we got what we wanted. They were preparing us for potentially a month in the hospital. We spent 10 days there. We wanted seizures. You guys prayed for them. We got them. Then we didn't want seizures. You guys prayed for none, and here we are. This coming Tuesday, it will be 2 weeks. If he continues on the path he is right now, it'll be 2 weeks he's had two. And he hasn't had one since this last Tuesday. But prior to that, he hadn't had one since, Thursday. The power of prayer is an amazing thing. Instead of spending the next, we're going to need more, because the next surgery coming up is going to be a lot tougher. But I'm spending the next 6 weeks, whatever time it takes to get to that point, instead of saying, Lord, will you do this for us? Can you do this for him? I'm praying and saying, thank you for what you've done for us and where you put us right now. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to that. So thank you guys. Keep them coming, because it's working. And we'll keep you in the loop as to where we are. But again, thank every one of you guys. It would have been a lot harder. Not only with the prayers, but financially, with the gift cards, with the easy pass. The stuff that people have done has just been out of this world. So again, keep the prayers coming. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
For our benediction, would you join me in number 717 in our hymnals affirming our faith? Number 717. I believe in God, the giver of grain and bread, and in Jesus Christ, the bread of life broken for us, and in the Holy Spirit, God's nourishing power in every grain and loaf. I believe that Christ is to be leaven in us, so that we may offer the bread of life to the hungers of every human heart.
I'm inviting the congregation to sing along with us. There's a sheet in your bulletin, and I'll turn around and lead you when it's time to join.
Remember you, the Lord.
join me in our unison confession. Lord, as we remember you, we know that you remember us. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Let us consider the price you paid for our sins. Give us pure hearts and motivate us to live holy lives. To thine be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We ask you to reverently make your way to the fellowship hall for our love feast service.